Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. Tiki and Tierney back inside our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Beautiful Thursday, New York City. Of course, Tiki and Tierney stretching coast to coast. 3 hours every day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. Our poll question, we should probably get this out. We spent so much time on the Acuna stuff last night, we didn't even give out the poll. So, Braves, Ronald Acuna is red hot, hitting a leadoff homer in three straight games. So, Marlins, Jose Urena hits him with the first pitch of the game. What are our thoughts on hitting Acuna? 80% of you right now, the three options, intentional and gutless, 17%, totally fair, 3%, not intentional, 80% say intentional and gutless.
Yeah. Which is what it was.
Pretty much our interpretation as well, for sure. We'll get to something that Daryl Morey said about LeBron and MJ. The one thing I wanted to point out, if you missed the, or if you caught it and you have a good buddy who loves golf, dad, uncle, friend, whatever, son, daughter, pass it along to them. What I took away from the interview that was most interesting to me is, by the way, one of 10 golfers to author, quote-unquote, golf's version of a perfect game. Shot a sub-60 today, 59. You know, I love to, and I know that you were there and I wasn't, so maybe that's why I'm more curious about it. To get inside the mind of an athlete when you're on the precipice of achieving something epic.
Yeah, the proverbial zone.
The zone, but the later stages of the zone, like when he was mixing it up with his caddy Billy Horschel, who we know, he told Billy, I'm going to birdie this, I'm going to break. Yeah. Like, to me, that's a really interesting look into how the heart rate slows down. We talk about that.
Of course.
Instead of getting a little bit worked up and gripping that club a little tighter, I might break 60 today.
Yeah, you calm down.
You tell him, yo, Bill, I'm a birdie this, buddy. Watch this, buddy. Watch me knock this within 3 feet.
Right?
That's amazing.
It is.
It's a good spot. Tell your friends about it.
The unfortunate thing is football's not that way.
No.
Right? Because it's just intense every moment. There's no, like, chill. And there's no, I'm about to do something, unless you're about to win a game. But that's usually on the quarterback. It's not any other position. So the only parallel in football would be a quarterback's perspective on winning a big game or, I don't know, hitting a milestone, which you probably don't even care about in the midst of a game, right?
Because it's like a career achievement.
Yeah, it just always is about winning.
Yeah.
It's never about, oh, I just passed for 400 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't ever think
about it until after the fact. Football's rare like that. The other sports that have thought in the middle of the game is a little bit different.
True. Baseball, pitcher, take a seat, chill a little bit. If you're a hitter and you're going for four home runs and four bats, you know, it's happened very few times. You know, there's time if you're playing the field. If you're not DHing, you're in the dugout. I got you. Basketball player, if you're going like Kobe, you know, not his last game. He scored 81.
81.
81. That against the Raptors? That was against Jalen Rose was on that team, right?
Wow.
The Raptor. 81 points for Kobe.
2006. 2006.
81.
That's ridiculous.
God, 81. All things I can only dream about, doing something incredible with people watching from a sporting point of view. Daryl Morey weighed in. Now, Daryl Morey is an interesting subject to toss into the whole MJ LeBron conversation / debate of the GOAT. Because he is a man who has made his living crunching numbers. So he is quantifying this in a little bit of a different way than the usual suspects do when they start throwing out, even though it's a quantification as well, you know, 9th first-team all defense, 5 for LeBron, this championship. He's looking at it from a numbers-oriented point of view, which is interesting.
You're right.
And it heavily favors LeBron.
Yes, yes.
According to Daryl Morey for the Rockets.
But the things he's talking about, I don't know if they matter. Because he's talking about win probability, right? And so LeBron James, because of how amazing he's been over the course of his career, and particularly over the last 8 seasons where he's been in the NBA Finals, that his win probability is grossly superior than anyone else out there. And so if you're going to look at those advanced metrics as the game has evolved, LeBron is the GOAT, right? It's not even close. And I think that's what Daryl Morey's point is when you start comparing against, say, MJ. But that, I don't know if that means anything, because at the end of the day, you still have to win. You know what I mean? You still have to execute. You still have to fulfill the destiny that advanced statistics tell you is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense, but it, at the end of the day, it still doesn't help LeBron win, put that in quote, win the argument about being the GOAT over MJ.
You know, at this point, I don't even know who I think is the best. I feel like I've vacillated so much.
Me too.
I really have. I've gone back and forth.
Me too.
It's like a merry-go-round, depending upon the day. There was a point where I made a real strong push that LeBron was at least equal, if not slightly surpassing him.
Yeah.
And then I've kind of taken that back a little bit. I'm still probably MJ by a tick here. Mm-hmm. But what I think is unfair to LeBron, you know, we illuminate his deficiencies, you know, when they lost to the Mavericks, which obviously is a even though Dirk is a great player, one of the best scorers of all time, that Mavericks team should have been smoked by that Heat team.
Agreed.
If they played a little bit better. He needed the offensive rebound by Bosch to kick out to Ray Allen to win. I mean, but as much as we...
wasn't even game seven. That was game six.
Exactly. No, I know. And as much as we look at his shortcomings compared to MJ, who never lost in the NBA Finals, 6%, never even played a game seven in the NBA Finals, the thing where I think somebody like LeBron gets really shortchanged is that we neglect to incorporate, most cases, how arduous the road was for him to carry a crew of average bowlers to the finals.
Yeah,
to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, we just, he lost in the NBA Finals a couple times, but do you know what he did to get there?
Yeah, and
nobody talks about that as much.
And who he was playing. You know what I mean?
And so, absolutely.
Who his opponent, for sure. Especially for the last three
all-timers.
Years. It's all-timers. Yep. It's an all-time team.
Yeah.
Right? It's the last three MVPs have been there. So it's one of those things where, or not the last three, the finals MVPs, but obviously a superstar.
Won the one.
Exactly. Superstar level players are who he's competing against.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, superstars for a season. I'm talking about superstars for like a decade.
All time.
All time.
Let's face it. Durant and Curry are becoming transcendent.
You're right.
Top, certainly top. Durant's higher than Steph. What do you think Steph is? Steph is maybe, if you had to throw out a loose number, top 20 all time? Top 25?
Yeah. I mean,
where
maybe
Durant
maybe
is more like
maybe,
top 12,
maybe
top 15?
Maybe even a little bit higher for Steph. Just simply,
higher meaning toward 30 or toward 15?
Towards 15. Gotcha. Because of the number of three-point. I mean, he has revolutionized how teams play offense.
I know.
Now in Mike D'Antoni's credit, right, he's been espousing that for a long time, right? Just run and jack them up and score at the rim or shoot three-pointers.
Yeah.
But nobody's ever done it. Or more importantly, I think players haven't had this skill to actually do it.
Yes, because they tried to do that in Phoenix, and they did it in large part. They were successful.
Yeah.
But Steve Nash wasn't Steph Curry.
No.
Steve Nash was
good. He was.
He just wasn't the same skill set.
Yeah, you're right. He couldn't make 45% of his three-pointers by shoot 25 of them a game. You know what I mean? He couldn't
from
do that.
28 feet.
Exactly. So it's just like it's evolved. The game evolved into something that allowed Steph Curry to now be a top 20 player of all time. So it's so you're right. It's just one of those things that's if the game hadn't moved, Steph wouldn't be where he is. But the game moved, and now Steph is.
All right, so Mike just told me that Sports Illustrated has – when was this from, last year?
2016.
Oh, 2016.
But it was after his second MVP.
All right, so he's probably taken several steps forward. Yeah. What do they have him at now?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, after his second MVP, that was kind of his peak. So I don't know if he's
– who, Steph?
Steph.
Yeah, but he won two more championships.
Yeah, he hasn't gone backwards, Mike, if anything.
There's no chance.
Yeah, he's gone.
So here are the names that were just ahead of him.
Like, what is this, 1 through 100?
50.
Go in descending order. Start with 50. I'm curious. Just rip through names. But
50
give us a second to react.
Paul Arizin.
Paul Arizin, old-timer.
I don't know much about him.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Kevin McHale, Dolph Shays, Chris Paul.
Hold on. Dolph Shays, old-timer, Chris Paul. Steph Curry's going to wind up much higher than Chris Paul. Keep going.
Yeah.
Well, Steph Curry's already higher.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Bill Sharman.
Bill Sharman, old school.
Iverson at 45.
AI Lulo. Mm.
That is low.
Kidd at 44. I wouldn't put Kidd ahead of AI, would you?
Kidd ahead of AI. You know, it's different because you're talking about game.
I might.
You're talking about game.
I might.
Versus what he did.
I might. He elevated a few franchises.
He
went to the Nets.
True.
Where the Nets were moribund. Went to the finals twice.
Yeah, but the East was really moribund as well. Yeah, they got swept out of the finals.
But Iverson was in the East.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
KD at 43, but this is, again, 2 years ago, okay. So things may have changed.
All right.
I'm sure he's gone up. Dave Cowens, Hal Greer.
Wait, Dave Cowens, go ahead.
Wait, hold on. What is this based on, of, by the way?
I think he's just voting by, you know, local writer, you know, SI writers.
I'm so sorry, 2 years ago, Kevin Durant was 43.
Three? Time.
Was this before the 2016 season or after? What was the date on this? It's important.
This was in the middle of the 2016 season.
Oh. And he was that's still a little low for KD.
That's
he was
really
still trending
low.
As a top five, top all right, three all-time scorer. That's now a problem
agreed.
With that.
Now I'm viewing this whole poll a little bit different.
Right? Well, I don't think they were projecting. I think they were saying at that point
in
their career.
Okay,
so like if they retired today, this is where they would be.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not projecting KD's going to be XYZ.
Yeah. But,
I think this is okay. Where they are
right,
at this point.
Gotcha.
So
43.
After that, Patrick Ewing at 39.
Patrick Ewing.
You got Cousy.
17 from Georgetown, number 33, co-captain Patrick Ewing.
All right, we got Cousy, Nowitzki, Dave Bing, Clyde Drexler,
Dave Bing
35.
From Syracuse, the mayor of Detroit. Former, yeah, go ahead.
34, KG, Kevin Garnett, Jerry
now,
Lucas
let me
at 33.
Stop you there for a second. Kevin Garnett versus Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that this is rooted from 2016, but right now, I mean, do you view, and I have profound respect for KG, beast.
Yeah.
Beast. You put him in the same stratosphere as Kevin Durant?
No.
I don't either.
No.
Played in a different era, to be fair.
Right.
To be fair to KG.
Just he didn't have
great
the,
defender.
He doesn't have the skill set.
And he's but not, he did have that jump shot, just not up to 23.
I agree,
feet.
I mean, but he's not stepping out the
no,
32
no, no, no,
feet
no, no, no,
and
no.
Drilling it in your mug in game no. Four of the game three of the NBA Finals.
No,
I'm just,
no. No. Right? And I love KG, but there seems to be that gap, that discrepancy is widening.
You're right.
Yeah, and listen, I would imagine, again, as we were discussing, if they did this list today compared to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Just
Durant
injecting
would be ahead
some current
Bill Walton at
analysis.
32,
Bill.
Then
but
Steph Curry.
But here's the thing, with KD, and I'm sorry, we're just interrupting you as you're going through
okay.
The list, but it doesn't matter.
That's
with
what we do.
KD,
we interrupt him for a living.
In a two-year span, right, from 2016 to 2018, he had to have jumped.
Yeah.
The narrative has changed significantly.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, so you said he jumps into the top 10?
Yeah, well,
I don't
whatever.
Have the top 10
so whatever, 25 spots.
Yeah, but
the narrative
on KD has changed significantly in the last 2 years, right? The two championships, two finals MVPs.
Yeah.
A lot of that
has
changed.
That was coming off when he bombed. Against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals those last couple games.
Maybe, so people didn't see him as a gamer.
Shade at that point, okay. Just a score.
So I think the narrative has changed a little bit. So here's,
significantly.
Here's
who's
my question
giving, like,
about
the 7 or 8 in front of Steph? Like
this,
20,
and this is
30,
where I was going
30,
with this. So Steph is 31 now. This is at the height of his two-time MVP thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you say he must have advanced a little bit. Not necessarily. Because here's who's right ahead of him. John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas, David Robinson.
First of all, Isaiah Thomas, that is unfair to Zeke. He should be a lot closer to, like, low 20s.
Okay.
He's much better than that. Go ahead.
David Robinson, Rick Barry, George Gervin, Dwayne Wade, George Mikan. Like, has Steph Curry done – I mean, I know he's won a championship since then.
Yeah.
He's also lost one.
Yeah.
He's won two, I guess, since then, but he's also lost one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, has he advanced past Isaiah or Stockton or Wade in the last 2 years? If anything, I would say he's gone down because now he's not the guy anymore. Now KD's the guy. So, if anything, I don't think that he's necessarily gone down, but I don't think Steph has certainly gone up.
But, Mike, he's added to his stats.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like a young home. Like, if we were doing this on Bryce Harper, who's not even having a great year. Say if this was baseball's version, 2016 Bryce Harper, and he didn't win a championship there, but he had 75 home runs in two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, well, just based on the sheer statistical accumulation, it would bump him up a few spots because he's maintained a certain level of eliteness. You know what I mean?
And I think this is not necessarily based off of stats because NBA, you rank things a little bit differently.
Yeah,
but it's partially everything.
Yeah, but when
this is more just
when
I think
when your game is when your game is just putting up points, which is his game, it is a lot about stats. It is. It is what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
what's your 3-point percentage after every game, after every season, right? What's your 3-point percentage in the postseason? It's been pretty steady. I'm saying Steph has climbed from here.
I think
there's
me
a flaw
too.
In this poll anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't figure out what it is, but there's a flaw.
Well,
it just
sounds Isaiah Thomas 30 or 29.
I agree.
Who was their top five real quick in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
LeBron, Magic, Wilt, Kareem, MJ.
Where'd they have Bird? Bird better be
I
top
think he's
ten.
Six.
Okay.
No, he's seven. Oscar 6, Bird 7.
Okay. Where's Tim Duncan?
Bill Russell 8, Jerry West 9, Duncan 10.
Where's Shaq?
Kobe is 12. Shaq is 15.
Yeah, Shaq.
Shaq's ahead of Olajuwon at 16.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I love Shaq.
Really?
Hakeem Olajuwon was better. Let's not embarrass the show.
He had great game.
Don't waste time on that.
Unbelievable
Much better.
Game.
Much better.
I still go to Much him to get trained.
Better. Much. You can sigh.
You're thinking of
as
the,
audibly you, as you would
Shaq
like.
Has more you're championships. Think, Shaq has a higher scoring average.
You're thinking of the impact that Shaq
Stop.
Had.
Shaq was the most dominating, unstoppable force on the court
Reel
when
him
he
in.
Played.
Reel him in, please.
I love Hakeem.
Reel
Stop
him in.
Arguing.
Reel him in.
We got to take a break.
Get the
if I have to choose
pole.
The two, I'm taking Shaq over Hakeem.
Reel him in, buddy. Reel him in before CBS reels us in for sounding stupid.
Hey, right. Jack McCallum, who is a longtime NBA.
He's great.
He also agrees with me that Shaq is higher than Olajuwon, so it's
wrong.
Not that idiotic of an opinion.
I don't know if we use the word idiotic. We just use the word wrong.
Yes.
Here's the other thing. I know we got a break, but when you have lists like this, like with all due respect to somebody like George Mikan or Arison or Dave Bing, I mean, when you do a list like this, you comprise, you feel compelled, and I like this aspect, mm-hmm. but it also complicates the real answer.
You're right.
You feel compelled to throw in some of the old heads when, let's be honest, I mean, Dave Bing got on a, if he got on, a, and I know he was great, if Dave Bing got on a court with Kevin Durant, there was one of these modern players, it would be ridiculous.
As a result, you're trying to weigh him relative to his
Correct.
Era.
Correct.
That's impossible.
And I think some better players get passed over mm-hmm. to incorporate the past, but at the end of the day, you have to incorporate the past, so I'm okay with it.
Cool.
So, Mike, what are we doing with the Bucks here, buddy? What's the word? Are we going Rondé? Are we going? Do we know yet?
We'll know more in the break.
Okay, that means we have a little audible. It's either going to be Lavonte David from the Bucks or Rondé Barber on the Tampa Bay Bucks with our Tiki and Tierney 2-a-days. Look forward, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The other quarterback's Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I'm assuming the answer is yes. All right, let's get into the Bucks here. My partner is Tiki. His brother is Rondé, former Gray Buck. And Rondé is in the house to break down those Tampa Bay Bucks. What's happening, Rondé? How are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Good, man. You're out in Tennessee. Is it hot in there?
No, we got a nice overcast day. It's raining summer practice, so it was good to get out of the Florida heat. This was nice. Yesterday I heard it was hot. Today is perfect.
Yeah, you came and brought the rain. Now, here's the question, Rondé.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Jameis Winston. Obviously, the intro talks about Jameis. What's the feel in Tampa, not in the locker room, not with his guys, not with the coaching staff or the front office? What's the feel in Tampa about Jameis Winston?
In what regard? As a football player or off the football field?
As a guy or the guy.
Well, I know a lot of people in Tampa like Jameis. People want to see Jameis do well. I mean, he's a hometown kid, obviously playing at Florida State.
Yep.
Well, relatively hometown. You know what I mean. A lot of Florida State people in the area. He needs to play well on the field to help let all this stuff go away. And I don't mean that in the manner of that it shouldn't have ever happened. He shouldn't have got suspended by the league. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying winning football games lets him be a better man, if that makes any sense. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Ben Roethlisberger is a great example. When he went through his travails, he goes out and plays great. They go to the Super Bowl, and, some of his transgressions went, go by the wayside. That needs to happen to Jameis. Now, 3-game suspension and, the tough schedule that this team has, if they don't get off to a fast start, people are going to use it as an excuse. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of it. I honestly don't know that the opinion of him is changed. People that disliked him for whatever reason coming out of college or probably have their reason to dislike him still.
Yeah.
People that loved him coming out of college are the ones saying, well, he needs to put this behind him and play football. And for the most part, being around this team for the preseason, I do their games, as you know.
Yep.
You get the feeling that that's what's happening. He's been very understated at practice with the media. Feels like if there is a slight maturation process going on with him, that it's happened. Time will tell, and, he'll have opportunities to prove everybody wrong or right if you're in his corner. And you just hope that he does that because he's a heck of a talent. He's a heck of a charismatic guy. People on his team genuinely – are behind him, and that's all it can be. And I don't want to get into the role model stuff and the type of player he should be and the responsibility that he has as a player. We all know that goes without saying. But he needs to get back to playing football. I think that's his only remedy.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now, when I was down there last year doing the game with you, Ronde, we were up in the front office talking about the priorities of the Buccaneers. One of them was to immediately get Mike Evans signed after his fifth-year option. Same thing with Jameis Winston. They got Mike Evans signed. Is that still a priority for Jameis Winston, or is this really a prove-it year?
I don't know if it's a prove-it year. I mean, just, you know, take your little checklist, go notch off the good quarterbacks in the league. Not the great ones, because that's a handful. But look, notch off the good ones. Jameis is up there. I mean, he's got the talent. Obviously, he's got the arm skill. I'm not going out of my way by saying he's looked as good as he's looked throwing the football so far in training camp this year and in the first preseason game. They're hard to find, man. You just don't go pluck them out of college and plug them in and say this guy's our savior. It just doesn't happen that way. There's very few guys that you can replace a Jameis Winston type talent with. I haven't talked to their GM or head coach, whoever, about that, but I got to imagine that he's in their long-term plans. I would think that he is.
Okay. We're talking to Ronde Barber. I didn't even give him the full intro when we brought him in. Just so happy to start talking shop. 16 years in the NFL. Great player. We know that. Three-time first-team All-Pro, 5 Pro Bowls, Super Bowl 37, part of the Fox crew as well. All right, so, Ronde, let me throw this by here. No doubting his natural gifts and the charisma in which he uses and how guys gravitate to him. He's a natural leader. He's an easy leader when he's got his head on right. But Dirk Cutter's got pressure. Dirk Cutter's got to start winning some games. You know better than I do just how long that rope is, so to speak. But what happens if Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out and he starts 3-0 or 2-1 and he's playing really well? Does he go right back to Jameis Winston?
Well, that, of course, that's the question for Dirk Cutter, not for Ronde Barber, the analyst. I get to analyze it after the fact. But I would say that Jameis is still the guy here. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a heck of a player. In fact, we were talking about this during the week preseason one broadcast. You couldn't have a more perfect quarterback to be in this situation because Jameis is the unquestioned leader of this football team, especially on offense. That might be debatable now that JPP's here, Vinny Curry's here, guys with Super Bowl cred on the other side of the ball. But Jameis is the leader. People follow him. And Ryan is an understated kind of guy, just his personality. So he's allowing Jameis to continue to be that guy in the locker room while still going about doing his business and not trying to steal that limelight. Now, what Ryan Fitzpatrick does for this team is probably the big question mark.
Yep.
They have such a tough road to start their season at New Orleans, home versus Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, and then Monday night against Pittsburgh. Those are the three games that Jameis is missing. And you got real question you got to ask yourself: were they going to win those games anyways? Even if Jameis was there, I don't think Jameis gives them a better chance. But I don't think that they have too much less of a chance with Ryan at quarterback. He's looked good. He can run this offense. There's so many weapons around these guys now. I mean, just look at the roster. Look at the depth at wide receivers, the strongest position on the team. You've got two really good tight ends. I honestly believe O.J. Howard's going to have a breakout year. The offensive line is solid as hell now with Ryan Jensen at center, moving Ali Marpet to guard, Donovan Smith left tackle. The only real question mark is right guard. And on the entire offense, the only question is right guard. So are they going to win games without him? You hope that they can. But I would say, to answer your question, Brandon, when it's all said and done, they're 3-0 or 2-1 or 1-2, whatever they are after the first three games, it's still Jameis' team.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. The other side of this team, Ronde, is obviously your side of the team, the defense. They were terrible last year, 32nd yards in the National Football League. Now, a lot of that was from some inefficiencies because of the offensive and being out there too long. But you talk about the Super Bowl cred. JPP is now there. Vinny Curry from the world champion Philadelphia Eagles is now there. But there's also some other, Gerald McCoy, who's still a stud. You look at the linebacking core, even though they built some, or they had to work through some injuries last season with Levante David, who was supposed to come on, and Quan Alexander. The secondary feels good because Vernon Hargraves and Brent Grimes, even though he's old as us. Where are they? Because it used to be what you depended on down in Tampa. Lately, it hasn't been that way.
It's easy to make that connection, especially when you're talking to me, because we had a top 10 defense for 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
It's funny that it always comes up that way. That conversation is a common talking point amongst Bucs fans. Talk about defense. I mean, this team is built on offense right now. I mean, it really is. This offseason, Jason Light, GM, identified some neat areas. Those neat areas are on the defensive line, right? Mm-hmm. You can talk about the secondary all you want. They were last in yards, touchdowns, give them up, whatever they were. But they didn't rush the passer. They were last in sacks. And to me, when our great defenses were in full force, it was because we had guys that could get to the quarterback. We had Warren Sapp, we had Simeon, Greg Spires. I mean, nicknames people have forgot if you just think about Warren. But we had people get to the quarterback. It made our job so much easier. And so you go get a JPP who has been unbelievable. Go look at what he did to Taylor Lewin in practice yesterday. That's what we're getting. You get a Vinny Curry and a Bo Allen, who both have Super Bowl rings from last year, and a Mitch Unrein who comes in. You draft Vita Vea on the defensive line. I mean, the theme is there. They need the help up front on defense, and it starts there. And it's such a cliche, but I can't remember. I was reading somebody said cliches are cliches because they're true. They needed help up front, so they went and identified their need areas. And to put it with, you know, two good young linebackers, Levante, who I wish he'd be on. He could tell you all this more than me because he's in the locker room. Quan Alexander. And then you draft two young corners, second-round corners. Carlton Davis out of Auburn, MJ Stewart out of North Carolina. Guys that are going to play early to go with Vernon Hargraves and Brent Grimes, who at 30, whatever he is, looks awesome still. So they have the talent there. It just has to translate to the field. And I think with the additions they made up front, it'll help. Now, to encompass the entire Bucs team, and I watch it from afar. I do other games all season long, but I keep up with my own team. 10 games last year, decided by one score, they were 3-7. Go look at the other teams in the NFC South. They're one-score games. I think Atlanta was 8-1 or 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that many close games decided by a one score, it's not just the defense. The defense gave up a lot of yards, but it's your kicker. It's staying on the field.
Penalties.
For the Bucs specifically, it's converting in the red zone. So look at between 20 and 20, they're one of the best teams in football, top 10 team in football. When you get in the red zone, they self-destructed. So all those things combined, you know, with the team with a lot of expectations, to all of a sudden be a 5-11 team, and nobody expects anything of them now. And, you know, that's what you try to address in the offseason. I think they've done that. Hopefully they're better.
Yeah. One of those one-score games you referenced, by the way, that Thursday night game against the Pats. Remember that?
Yeah.
A lot of empty yards, but they couldn't punch it in, but they moved the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember it. All right, buddy, go get some highlights. I know you got to check in on Brant Snedeker, who dropped the 59 today. You see that?
How about that?
Oh,
anybody
come on.
Playing in that tournament? Jeez.
Oh, man.
That?
You're right. We just had him on. We just had him on, by the way, because we're good like that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, brother, looking forward to seeing you week one and week two with you on the Fox team. It'll be fun. Appreciate you.
Do you have any idea what you're going to be doing?
No, I'll just follow your lead. You'll tell me what to do.
We got good plans for you, T.
Tell me they involve props.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I am a little nervous right now.
Nice.
You know what? We're going to start with the interview with you on the sideline with Tom Coughlin.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that. I tried to get one like when I first retired. Uh-huh. He said no.
Did you call him or did NBC
call? I called Pat Hanlon.
Pat Hanlon directly. And Tom said no, thanks.
They said no.
Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe we'll fly him in. Maybe he's mellowed out a little bit.
I seriously doubt it.
Ron, they appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Be good, brother.
Later. Rondé Barber.
Samter just tweeted out a video that Rondé was alluding to with JPP absolutely abusing. I mean, when I say abuse, I mean like really using the word.
I
got to
check it.
Abuse.
I didn't see it yet.
Taylor Lewan.
He's a good player,
who is
too.
The highest paid tackle in the history of the NFL right now.
Just signed it.
Got destroyed by JPP.
That whole Titans offensive line is good. They have another guy who's in the first round. Conklin from Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
They're
that
good.
That is a good offensive
good.
Line.
It might be a good thing they got JPP.
It's a good sign that if the Bucs are having their way, at least in the trenches. I know it's a joint practice. I don't know if you can get complete measurement from
means,
that. But I got to see this. So he blew him up one-on-one? I got to check it out. All right, let's get the update from Jay Berman. He's been sitting patiently. We appreciate that. Inbounds, out of bounds is next, which is always cool. Here's Big Jay. All righty, inbounds, out of bounds. We get to that in a second here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Though a little, always time for some fantasy stuff. Time for a fantasy prediction brought to you by FanDuel.
Yeah, BT. I like some of these rookie wideouts, man. Mm-hmm. Antonio Callaway for the Browns, especially.
because Josh Gordon is nowhere to be found. He's MIA right now. Did you see Michael Gallup last week for the Dallas Cowboys? The kid's got some game.
I'll tell you what, man. I went back and I looked at some of his game logs from Colorado State. He's a JUCO kid. He played at for the Rams for a couple of years. Some big numbers. So we have to stop saying this. We keep saying, who's Dak Prescott's main guy? Maybe it's him.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we keep saying, is it Cole Beasley? Yeah. Is it Terrence Williams? No, it looks like it's going to be Gallup.
I think
he's
turning
heads, man. So we'll see. Also, maybe Tekin, you could tell me about this. Be wary of some of the pads, like Sony Michel. He tweaked his knee early in camp. That's not good. So you get banged up and you rely on speed early. That's got to be a hindrance,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. A lot of these young running backs, we already have seen Darius Geis went down. Can't get him. Saquon's got the hamstring. Sony Michel's got the knee. Be careful of some of these running backs, these young running backs early, because they're not used to playing on this level yet.
There you go. This NFL season, more ways to win on FanDuel. Like all the new guru tools to help you guide and get your way through picking your lineup during data-driven strategies. Get a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit today at FanDuel.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Let's jump into it. A little inbounds and out of bounds. You good?
Let's go.
You good?
Yeah, I am.
Let's go.
Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. We start rookie hazing. Rookie hazing has been a little tradition for a long time in every sport, but specifically the NFL. Vets forcing newly drafted players to carry their pads, and we've seen players tape the goalposts and dumped with powder and syrup and all that other stuff. Also getting up and having to sing, which is the alma mater, which isn't that big of a deal. And also on the occasion, a little snip, some haircuts here and there. However, Broncos Super Bowl 50 MVP Von Miller, what a buzzkill. Not a fan of the tradition. Come on. All right, there you go. That sounds ominous. Jeez. In or out, the NFL should eliminate rookie hazing before something bad happens.
Out of bounds, come man. On. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's just a haircut. Ultimately, you're going to be all bald. That's what it comes down to. You're going to be bald. And they usually keep it for a day, and then they let them shave it. Or if they turn out to have a great game, they do it ahead of the first game, so they got to wear it for a game or second game in this case.
Preseason.
And then they clean it up. It's all good. Whatever. So out of bounds, man. Let it go. I was like Vaughn. I didn't participate in a lot of this stuff, but I enjoyed it from afar.
I tell you, this is so far out of bounds. Now, as long as there's not like permanent like pain, like real threatening pain, or you go like Mike and I were talking about this before the show in college, like drinking unhealthy amounts of alcohol or things that are really put your life in jeopardy. No, I mean, I've always enjoyed this. I remember my freshman year, we had a run around in our jock strap, and it was our first road trip of the season, and all the veterans, they were like nine freshmen, and all the veterans had a wet towel, and it hurt like hell. And they would snap it on our behinds as we ran by. And then we had to do like push-ups every time. You know, you laugh, you move on, and then you're a sophomore. You're right. Suck it up. Jeez, everybody's so soft. It's not a big deal. God. All right. Being 1-31 and on HBO's Hard Knocks, Browns head coach Hugh Jackson under the microscope, as you would imagine, this preseason. He's repeatedly said that Tyrod Taylor's going to start no matter what. And yesterday even intimated they may actually put Drew Stanton second.
Come on,
Hugh, what are you? Come on, man. On the quarterback depth chart ahead of Baker Mayfield. I still like Hugh, but the more he talks, the more I'm convinced he shouldn't have been brought back to coach his team. I'm sorry. I know that's harsh, but in or out, Hugh Jackson's plan for Baker Mayfield is?
Out of bounds, BT. I mean, on network, you can see me. I'm rolling my eyes. On radio, I'm telling you, I'm rolling my eyes. You sound like an idiot trying to convince yourself that Drew Stanton is going to be your backup because let's get it. Let's get it.
Maybe he thinks it's Drew Brees.
Experience.
Or Drew Bledsoe came back.
He has experience.
Oh, Pete.
Out of bounds.
Teague, I don't have anything
that
to add.
That sounds incompetent.
Yeah, that's a better way to frame it. We know he's not an idiot, but it does sound idiotic. It sounds like a reach. You're trying to outthink. You're trying to just say what you think. Like, don't worry about how it's perceived. This kid was the first overall pick. You pull Jared Goff where he's not active?
Agreed.
For the first 8 weeks of the season,
Hugh,
like the Rams?
Hugh, if you want him to work, say, I'm challenging Baker Mayfield. I want him to earn his position, whether it's the starter or the backup. Don't give me Drew Stanton's going to be my backup because he has experience.
You know what?
That's a really
good point. You illuminate the wrong thing.
Yes.
Yeah, entice the young man, but don't tell us somebody's good when he's good. He's in the NFL, but let's face it.
Oh, you know what they said? They know what they said? Huh. He has a positive winning percentage.
Does he really? I didn't even know that. Does Drew Stanton have one?
Yeah, he's won more games than he's lost.
But how many games has he won?
Like 11.
It's got to be low. All right. Drew Stanton. Drew Stanton for president. Drew Stanton. There he is. All right, Teak. Now, in an interview yesterday, stay in your lane. We knew we had to hear from this guy for, you know, it's been a little bit too long. Stay in your lane has reemerged here. He was on an L.A. radio station. LeVar Ball was asked whose team the Lakers were. Give him credit. This is actually pretty interesting, and interesting is code for dopey, but yet still kind of funny. His response was not surprising, saying, Lonzo didn't go to Cleveland. LeBron came to L.A. We were already over here.
For a year, and you missed quarter of the season.
And everybody thinks they probably drafted the wrong guy. So that's an end quote at number two. LeVar went on to mention that he has not spoken to LeBron since he signed with the Lakers. In or out, LeBron needs to have a conversation with LeVar before the season starts. I'm curious to how you go here.
Bounds. He needs to ignore LeVar. It's like that child who just won't stop talking over and over and over and over and over again. You try to correct their behavior, mm-hmm. not by yelling at them to be quiet. You just ignore them mm-hmm. for a little while.
I have a little bit of a different approach, although sometimes ignoring kids is the best thing, if you can do it, which sometimes is really hard. I say out of bounds here because can you imagine the headlines, and we'd be guilty of this on CBSSports.com as well, and we talk about it on the show, Tiki and Tierney, there's no doubt, but can you imagine the pub and how it would empower LeVar if LeBron actually met with LeVar Ball before the seat, like a powwow, like brokering a deal between the two minds? Are you kidding me?
No chance.
LeVar doesn't deserve that. However, here's where you and I differ. I do think he needs to have a sit-down with A-Ball, and I think he's got to tell Lonzo, get your pops in check.
You're right.
I've been saying this from day one, whether it was about Luke Walton, whether it was about a multitude of things that LeVar kind of ripped about the team. Lonzo's got to tell LeBron's got to tell Lonzo, I'm here, you're my guy, you're my teammate. Put the brakes on your pops. Like I don't want to hear it.
You know, we get annoyed sometimes with LeBron with his power plays, like this is what we're going to do. I need my guys. We're going to bring in this guy. I hear you, 100%.
Got to do it.
LeBron needs to sit down with Lonzo mm-hmm. and say, I'm not the GM, but I have the power to get you out of here.
That's right.
Seriously.
That's right.
Get your dad
and he doesn't have to publicize it. We don't even need to necessarily know about it. But that conversation's got to have. Otherwise, that relation, you know that LeVar's going to pop off. So mm-hmm. when he does pop off, it's meaningless.
You're right.
You got to have it. Stay in your lane, Barbara.
Stay in your lane.
Did you see? You almost forgot that he had this developmental league. Remember LeVar?
Oh, yes.
You know who won the championship?
Who?
His sons.
Oh, of course.
So stacked the roster.
Jeez.
He is a caricature. When does he fully disappear? I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
Not until Lonzo stops playing.
You know there's going to be a problem at some point in L.A. with that. It's going to flare up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.